Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
There's no such thing as second-class citizens when it comes to gifting, and there's no such thing as second-class citizens when it comes to gender. That both men and women are equal in the sight of God, but God established gender for gender to accomplish different things in the church and in the world. And if the church doesn't get this right, the culture will never get it right.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Our culture continues to push the notion that gender can have any definition, that there really isn't any difference between a man and a woman. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff debunks this trendy social statement by revealing the truth of what the Bible teaches about gender. We're continuing a countercultural lesson on God's design for women in the church. As we go deeper into our new series, The Kingdom Embassy. Now, in the first part of this message, Pastor Jeff outlined two major truths from 1 Timothy, that a woman's appearance and a woman's character should reflect Christ instead of reflecting the culture. Now, continuing with his next point in this countercultural lesson, here's Pastor Jeff.
Let me give you a third truth about God's design for women in the church, and that is that their significance should be responsibilities designated by Christ and not the culture. Ladies, when it comes to your significance in the church, it should be responsibilities that Jesus Christ wants you to have and not what the culture says that you need to be and do. Notice what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Paul says, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Now, over the last 30 years, I've read several different authors. I've read people on all sides of every single argument. For me, I don't really care what other people think. I really care about what the Word of God says. If you take the Word of God serious and you take the Word of God literal, it means exactly what it says it means. What Paul is forbidding is the teaching in the church of women to men or having authority over men. Now, for those of you that would say, well, that was just temporary, that doesn't mean anything, that's why I love that Paul continues his argument. Because Paul's going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 in the order of creation. You say, well, Paul, why is that? He says, verse 13, for it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. So why aren't women teaching? Here's why. Because in God's order of creation on day 6, if you remember when we went through the study of Genesis, God created male and female on the same day. But God created Adam, and then there was a lag of time before he created Eve. God created Adam from the dust of the earth, and he put him in the garden to do what? Help me out, man. What were men called to do? Work. Nobody knows this. I'm going to say it again. Men, you're called to work. That was your responsibility. Not only were you called to work, but God gave specific instructions to the man. He gave the word of God, his own word, to man so that man could teach his word. That's what he did. It's always been God's design for men to receive the word of God and to teach the word of God. Men are called to teach the word to the church. Women are not called to teach the word to the church. Well, I kind of feel like I am called. Well, you're wrong. Women are called to teach other women. Women do have gifts of teaching. Some of the women that you know may have stronger gifts of teaching than me. That doesn't change the word of God. The word of God is the word of God. That God wants men in the church teaching. So here's what we have in verse 14. It says, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Why was the woman deceived? Because Adam did a poor job of explaining to his wife the word of God and what God taught. And even as she's listening to the serpent, she's hearing a great argument for how she's going to become like God and it's going to be good. And she's looking over at Adam like, say, what do you think? I don't know if he was picking his nose or what he was doing, but he didn't say anything. So she eats and gives some to him and he's like, don't hog it. And he eats it too. So she was deceived and fell into transgression. What does this mean? Again, Paul's going back and saying, that's why men were called to teach the word. God hasn't changed his mind. That's why we're looking for a few good men. That's why we plant churches with men. That's why senior pastors are called to be men, because of the order of creation. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, I'm a woman. I know God's given me gifts to teach the Bible. I know he's given me gifts to teach, and I want to use my gift. How do I do it? Did you know that God put a curriculum in the Bible for what you want to do if you're called to teach as a woman? Turn over to Titus 2. It's two books over to your right. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. And listen to this. So I'm called to teach. He's going to tell you how to do it. He says, older women likewise. Now, who's an older woman? Somebody who's older. Women, you don't talk about your age. If you're my age, you're probably older, right? Older women, likewise, how are you to be? Reverent in their behavior. You're to be known by your respectable behavior before the Lord. Notice what else? Not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. Friends, this was written 2,000 years ago. Women, listen to me. I tell you all the time, I do not hang out with men that speak ill of their wives. I will not do it. I may be in a conversation with them, but they're not going to be my posse. That's not who I'm going to hang out with. In the same way, women, do not hang out with women that bash their husbands. Don't do it. It's interesting for me because I hear all these things. Well, women, they gather during the day and they drink a lot of wine and then they bash their husbands. Don't do that. Don't get together with a bunch of women. Now, the Bible says nothing about abstinence. If you want to have a glass of wine, fine. But the purpose of getting together is not so that you drink yourself to death and then gossip about your husband and what a bad husband you have. Oh, you think that's bad? Let me tell you about my husband. Let me tell you what he did. No, that's sinful behavior. That is disqualifying to be a teacher in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you're known for your gossip and your slander of your husband, you're automatically disqualified. Teaching what is good. Well, what does that mean? He's going to tell us. So that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. The top two teachings that should be taking place in women's ministry is the older woman teaching the younger women to love their husbands and their kids. That's number one and number two. That's the number one thing that should be going on in women's ministry, according to the Word of God. Yeah, but I just want to study Revelation again. Great, study Revelation, but love your husband and your kids first. And be an example so you're not just teaching words from the Bible that you yourself aren't living. Live it. Then what else? To be sensible, which means to be prudent and self-controlled, pure. And then there's one word that makes up these next four that we have in our Bible. Workers at home. It doesn't say that about men. It does about women. What's your domain? Home. Well, that's so sexist. No, it's God's design for gender if you're a woman. Be busy at home. Not out gossiping, not out doing all this. So it doesn't prohibit you from having a job in the marketplace, doesn't at all, as a matter of fact. But it does say your most important responsibility if you're married and a woman and have kids is to your husband and your kids first. And then if all of that is taken care of and you want to do something on the side, great, but that's not nearly as important for you gaining value as it is being a wife and a mother, according to the Word of God. That's definitely not true according to our culture. Definitely not true according to our culture. Being kind, subject to their own husbands. So that why? So that the word of God will not be dishonored. So you say, hey, what's the curriculum for women's ministry? It's Titus 2, 3 to 5. God spells it out. You say, well, I'm more valuable than just what I can do in my home. Friends, I'm telling you, women, listen to me. All your value, if you've chosen to get married, is going to come out of your home. Pastor Jeff, haven't you ever read Proverbs 31? I have. So let's talk about Proverbs 31. Because all of Proverbs 31 is in the context of family. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her and will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She's known for her character in the family. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings, she plants a vineyard. What is she? She's a real estate agent and a gardener in her home to profit the family. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She works out. for her family. Drop down to verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not sitting around doing nothing. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. Men, praise your wife verbally. Tell her how awesome she is. The husband praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. And here's why he says it, because charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. All of it's in the context of the home. This doesn't mean if you're single, you're less than. Single women, single men, you have a responsibility to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with everything in your life and to live for him and him alone. But if you choose to get married, that all changes. You're not just honoring the Lord, you're honoring your spouse and you're honoring kids if he gives you kids for the sake of the gospel. Here's why, listen to me. Because Jesus Christ thinks the family is really important. He thinks the family is really important. He thinks the family is more important than what we accomplish in the marketplace. That's true of men and women, by the way. I mean, what good does it do me as a man if I pastor a church and the church continues to grow and we talk about the number of salvations, but one day you hear that my wife no longer wants to be married to me and my kids can't stand me? Have I done a good job? No, I'm a complete failure. Family is what Jesus honors. Amen? Now, why is this so important? Because women in our culture, and it's creeped its way into the church, have bought the lie of feminism. Now, let me tell you what feminism preaches. That women, you need to be able to act like a man. You need to be like a man. You need to earn money like a man. You need to be strong like a man, and you'll only be satisfied if you become like a man. You can't be a man. So quit trying. To say you have to become a man to be valuable is to say that I'm not valuable just being a woman. You're totally valuable as a woman. You don't need to become something else or somebody else to prove your value. God values you as a woman. Be the most feminine woman you can possibly be. Amen? See, we play this game. I mean, what's more valuable, a car or an airplane? Just depends, right? I mean, if a car was driving up and down I-25, I'm like, I can't get high enough. I have no wings. You know, I can't go as fast as an airplane. I guess I'm not valuable. I need to get a bigger motor. I need to grow wings and do all this stuff to be valuable. That'd be silly. It'd be silly for a plane to complain because, like, I can only go fast, but it takes me forever to take off. And every time I'm on I-25, I can't get under the overpass. I'm worthless. They were created for different things. Women, you were created differently than a man. If you try to act like a man, you'll never be satisfied. Men, you were created as a man. If you try to act like a woman, you'll never be satisfied. Can we please, for the sake of Jesus Christ, let men be men and women be women to the glory of God. And men have a responsibility in teaching and in leading to elevate women the same way Jesus Christ did. There was nobody in his ministry that felt put down. And we read about women all throughout the Bible that made a significant impact. Moms, I just want to tell you something. You may not feel like you're making an impact with your kids. I'm married. I watch my wife with our kids. I know there's days or sometimes months on end. Like, am I getting anything done around here? I feel like all I'm doing is cooking and cleaning and working and doing. And does anybody care? You're making the most significant impact in your kids. If you've ever had any impact from my public ministry of preaching the word, thank my mom. She's the one that spent all the time with me. She wasn't praying for me to become a pastor. I think she was just praying to get through the day with me, right? I mean, it's hard. But invest yourself in the things of the Lord, and the Lord blesses those things. We're living for eternity. We're not living for here. We're not living for people to notice how good we are. We're living to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. And men, if we're teaching right and leading right, we will elevate women. Jesus Christ did, and so did the Apostle Paul. We should do the same. But here's what you won't see in the Bible. If you read through your Old Testament, you'll never see a woman who's a priest in Israel. And if you read through the New Testament, you won't see a woman who's an apostle, one of the 12. And you might say, well, Jesus was just trying to be, you know, keep the culture the same. Have you ever read about Jesus? Jesus was the most culturally insensitive leader that's ever lived. All Jesus would have had to do is make Mary Magdalene one of the apostles, and we would say women can be apostles too. He never did. But did he honor Mary Magdalene? Cast demons out of her. She's following him around. She's ministering to him. He elevated women everywhere he went. Women at Brave Church, you should feel honored and privileged to be the best woman that you can ever be. You should feel honored by me as your pastor. You should be honored by our men to be elevated to do everything that you ever want to do. The only thing I believe scripture forbids is you being an elder and overseer or the proclaimer of God's truth to the whole body. That's it. That's it. Women, you have gifts. Use them. Be free to use them. Feel honored to use them. We're so grateful for the women in our church. I mean, we even read in the New Testament that Priscilla and Aquila, Aquila's wife Priscilla, I mean, they got Apollos, who was a great speaker one time, and they pulled him aside together as a couple and started ministering to him. But it was done in private. It wasn't a public ministry where Aquila stood up and said, let me rebuke that guy. Let me tell you. No, they did it privately. I've had lots of women in my life speak into my life. I appreciate that. Women, because you see the world differently than we do as men, it's important that we as men hear women speak into us. Guys, if you're married, it's important. Like, it's essential that you listen to your wife, because she's usually right about, I found about 99.5% of the time that she sees things that you don't see. So we value that. Doesn't mean that we're men and we're elders and we lead and we don't listen. No, we're gonna listen, and we need to listen, and we need to hear, and we need to respond. But the office of pastor and teacher and evangelist and proclaimer, that belongs to men. Not because of any other reason than God created gender, and that's his design and his desire. Amen? That's what he wants for us. And then he ends by saying this. He gives one final truth. And honestly, this verse, I think I read about 14 different interpretations of this verse this week. It says, but women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Some people have said, well, that means that women will be saved if they have kids, which goes against everything in the New Testament. You can be saved without ever having kids. You can be saved without ever being married. So that can't be it. Some say, well, they'll be saved or preserved while they give birth to their children, that no harm will come to them. But we know from science and what we see in the medical community, sometimes women give birth and it's such a difficult challenge, they don't always make it through. That can't be it. Some people say, well, they're talking about the child. They're talking about Jesus Christ himself, that women will be saved by Christ just like men are. And I agree with that, but I don't think that's what the text is saying. Man, I spent a lot of time on this week to talk about what it means. I do think there is some significance that the curse to the women was that there was going to be pain in childbirth. All right? My wife's had 3 children. I know there's pain in childbirth. My mom's a labor and delivery nurse. I know there's pain in childbirth. Part of the curse is true. There's pain in childbirth. But it's interesting that God only, even through the curse, allows women to propagate the human race in a way that men can't, despite popular belief. Women have babies, men don't have babies. Okay? So in spite of the curse, women can still be preserving the line because you're able to have babies and raise up other offspring that are godly to the Lord. But I think it's saying something even more simple than that. I was looking this week to say, what does it mean to be, you know, preserved through? Like, what does it mean to be saved through? I don't know. And I found another passage where Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he was talking about your work and what it's going to be like on the day of judgment. Whether your work is going to be with gold and silver or precious stones or wood, hay, and straw. And he says on the day of judgment, even if you have stubble to produce, you'll be saved, but there's only one escaping through the flames, or saved through the flames. That's what he says. 1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved or preserved, yet as through fire. What's that mean? It means this. It means even if you're saved and you don't live for the Lord, you'll be delivered out of the flames. You'll be saved in spite of the flames or in spite of the fire. If we take that as a metric to what Paul is talking about, then I believe it's really simple what Paul is saying here. He's talking to a group of women who wonder in the first century, can I truly be saved like a man can be saved? Answer, 100%. And you can be saved to the full. Women are not teaching, but women will be saved through the bearing of children. In spite of the curse, women will be saved or delivered from the curse of childbirth, or in spite of the in spite of the curse of childbirth. They'll still be saved if they continue in faith and love, which we're saved by faith, and we continue in love with sanctity and self-restraint. In other words, women, here's what he's saying. You may not be the one up front teaching the word, but you can be saved to the full by the word. That's what he's telling you. It means there's no such thing as second-class citizens when it comes to gifting, and there's no such thing as second-class citizens when it comes to gender. That both men and women are equal in the sight of God, but God established gender for gender to accomplish different things in the church and in the world. And if the church doesn't get this right, the culture will never get it right. And the whole feminist movement that we have, where now we got men wanting to compete in women's sports and men wanting to be transgender and women wanting to be trans this, and nobody can figure it out. It's just so much easier if you say, this is how God made me, this is who I am, and I'm gonna own my identity as a woman or as a man, because I know, regardless of my gender, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm gonna honor the Lord Jesus Christ in all of that. Amen? And that's what he's teaching us. It means no matter what, every single person, man, woman, boy and girl, can be saved to the full. And isn't that what the gospel is all about? It means don't be upset by what God prescribes in his word or what God forbids in his word. Receive what he says in his word and own what he says in his word and become who he says in his word. We have some of the finest women I've ever been around that attend Brave Church. Great women that love the Lord, that want to honor him in everything. I think we have a lot of great men that want to honor the Lord and love him in everything. This is not meant to be divisive. This is meant to give us clarity on how we're supposed to live so that together we can accomplish Christ's purposes in this world. Amen? Amen. And that's what he has for us. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we give you honor for a text that in our culture is so hard to hear because we've drifted so far from your truth. And yet, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the women who are here, that they can hear how to be full of your spirit as a woman, to be everything that you designed her to be. And I thank you for the men who are here, that being filled with your spirit, they can be everything that you designed them to be. But Lord, we don't presume that we have a relationship with you just because we attend a church. And perhaps today you're here and you recognize that maybe I don't have a relationship with Jesus and I want to have a relationship with Jesus. And if that's you, here's how you can pray. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you, but I believe you died on the cross for all my sins and that you rose from the dead. Right now, I'd want to turn from my sin and by faith trust you alone for my salvation. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we ask you to grow us. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to fill us and use us as your children for your glory, that we would appreciate the equality we share as human beings and the distinctions that we have in our gender, that we would honor you with all that we have for your name and for your name only. The beautiful name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in your name that we pray today. Amen and amen.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and the final segment of a three-part message titled, God's Design for Women in the Church. It comes from our new series, The Kingdom Embassy, where we're learning how to live out our faith and make an impact for God's kingdom. If you've missed any part of today's pertinent lesson on gender and God's direction, or you need to catch up on an earlier message from this relevant series, you can find all these programs at bravemedia.online. You can also access these teachings right from your phone whenever you want by downloading the Brave Church app. Just go to your favorite app store and search for Brave Church Denver. Another great way to connect with the Brave community is by liking and following our social media pages. Find us on most major platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by simply searching for Brave Church Denver. Then click the like or follow button on our homepage. Before we end today's program, we'd also like to invite you to be part of our weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're in the Denver metro area, make plans to join us at our campus in Englewood. Or if you're closer to Westminster, be sure to visit our new location there. Or simply join us right from home by going to our weekend live stream. For more details, visit bravemedia.online and click the button at the bottom of our homepage that says Brave Church. If you have any questions or comments about today's lesson you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, email us, hello@bravechurch.co. That's all our time for now. Thanks so much for joining in. This is Bill Carl encouraging you to continue tuning in as we continue this powerful series from Pastor Jeff, called the Kingdom Embassy. We're establishing a faith that moves us forward and makes an impact for God's kingdom next time, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.